Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department to back it all up, and they need more technicians than ever. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. By the way, you've heard about beer sales in Beaver Stadium. They're going to start that on Saturday, just so you know. That is official. That they'll start it on Saturday. We've done segments on this show over the years about it. And I'm talking about over the last 7 or 8 years. About the research. The various places that it's been done. And one of the primary areas of the research, believe it or not, was West Virginia. And West Virginia has experienced, for years now, very few problems with this. Doesn't mean it's perfect, but they've experienced very few problems with it. And we've always cited that and pointed that out. And hopefully that'll be the case here with this. Now, right now, if you're going to Yankee games to watch Judge hit a home run, you may want to buy a beer because it's not happening. No, I'm going to tell you right now, all sit, nothing's happened. I mean, can the Maris family go home? I mean, seriously, I think the Maris family, how much work is that guy supposed to miss?
Something tells me I think he's fine regardless.
I'm just saying, how much work are you supposed to miss? I mean, you notice the dad's not there, the mom is. The dad had to go back to work. Meanwhile, your kid's jumping up and down all rising. The only guys hitting home runs are Vladimir Guerrero. I mean, not the right guy to rise for, is it? No?
Doesn't matter. Division was clinched last night, so that's what we celebrate.
Irrelevant. You're the number two seed no matter what's going to happen.
I know.
That's adorable. Great. Good for you. And we said 2 weeks ago, you're a number two seed no matter what you do. You're in. Next. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays are trying to clinch the wild card by being the one wild card. They can play nothing but home games in the opening round. And that becomes irrelevant as well because of the factor of vaccination. As of October 1st, Saturday, Canada will no longer require that. So anybody, whomever they end up playing, which in all likelihood would be, Tampa Bay? Sound right?
That's what it looks like as of right now.
It would not be an issue. It would not be an issue. And Cleveland would play Seattle. And it's a best of three, all three. See, this is where the spot the Phillies are stuck in. Phillies would have to play all three on the road. I'd said to Roger Haddon, I said, boy, they're at home. You're going right. He goes, yeah. He says, yeah, but it's kind of a long shot. And then this is what? Last road game, off day tomorrow, then they're at Yankee Stadium this weekend with the Orioles, right?
Yep.
And then it's at Texas.
That is correct.
And then the season's over. So, where are they right now? They've got the Yankees. Yankees have played, how many games they played? 154. So he didn't pass Ruth. He tied Ruth. Right? So he's tied Ruth, and he did not go past him with 61 home runs in 154 games. Tell me I'm wrong.
You are not wrong.
So why are we watching this? We're done. Didn't get it done. Move on. I mean, at least get to the ball of the warning track. It's hard to hit home runs. Just watch home run. Watch the home run deal at the All-Star game. It's not easy. You know, you get into a groove, you hit a few, and all of a sudden it's like, then you start getting tired. And here's the other part. He's played like 50 games in a row. He really does need a break. I mean, to be honest with you, I think he looks a little tired. But you're trying to do something that would be semi-historic. And they're playing him every day for obvious reasons. Now, he walked four times last night. Yeah, that was exciting to watch. Boy, I was on the edge of my seat with each walk.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, even you're getting desperate.
Just as long as they're playing good baseball heading into the postseason, it is what it is.
Yeah, it doesn't usually mean too much. Over the years, I've been like, yeah, they're playing great. And you get swept. Just all depends on the day. See, I think differently than you do. It's like, okay. You know, it's like, how are you that day? Like, you're trying to read tea leaves all the time. I don't read tea leaves. I just like, what's it like that day? You hate how I think.
Only sometimes.
Well, where am I wrong?
You're not. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Depends on the day, the matchup, whatever. You could go out, you could play lousy down the stretch, and all of a sudden you sweep a three-game series, and guess what? You're in great shape. you're playing on. Doesn't matter. So, anything about football you want to know? Anything? Because you don't like any of James' answers.
I think we're good at this point.
Just checking.
I did see this stat, which I thought was pretty crazy. So Penn State, one of just six FBS teams to score at least 28.5 points per game, allow less than 20 points per game, have at least 11 returning starters. But here's the one that got me. One of just six FBS teams with the same head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback. That just says it all with the current landscape of college football.
Yeah, and then did you see Andrew Marchand? Let's talk about I'll change directions here. Again, continuity is important. I've always felt that way, especially in the booth. No, just Andrew Marchand put out a tweet article on the Pac-12, and in it he said that Fox, like ESPN, is expected to be hundreds of millions apart when it exchanges money figures with the Pac-12. Okay? And again, when you hear George Kliavkov, and look, I'm not trying to rip George Kliavkov here. I'm not. All right? Ooh, the Yankee broadcast got 901,000 total viewers. You know how amazing that is? In a country of 330 million? That means 329,099,000 weren't watching. Not good. Just kidding. It's your team.
Yes.
I can add too. But Kliavkov is trying desperately to, you know, save his conference and save his job. Okay, let's be honest about it. He's trying to save his job. So he says, oh, yeah, we get in conference rooms and we laugh when we read these stories. Excuse me, George, but what kind of skin in the game does Andrew Marchand have? What kind of skin in the game does John Orrand have? They don't have any skin in the game. He's writing this in the New York Post. Do you think people in New York care about the Pac-12 TV package? No offense, it's minimal. The Pac-12 has something to sell, no question. This is what they have to sell. They have to sell the 10:30 time slot, 7:30 and 10:30. And 10:30 is a desirable time slot because all sports networks and sports networks want to be filling as much programming as possible with live play-by-play. They'd rather do that than put on a talk show or a documentary. So they bring value because they can get that 10:30 time slot filled consistently. That's one. Next, with their current group taking out USC and UCLA, they can offer the Phoenix TV market, along with Tucson, Denver, Salt Lake City, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, Portland, Seattle. Right? So it's not like they don't have something to offer, and that's what he should be talking about. This is what they have to offer. Don't say, oh, we laugh when we hear stuff like that. Well, you can laugh all you want. These two guys have no skin in the game. Andrew, who's been on the show many times, and John, who's been on the show a couple of times, they're just reporting, talking with their sources. And like any negotiation, the Pac-12 wants a number that's higher, and the networks are going to come in initially lower. And then that's what the negotiation is all about. Let's go back to Notre Dame for a moment. We want $75 million. There is not a single person on the planet that realistically, if you understand negotiations, that knows Notre Dame's going to get $75 million. They're going to get $75 million. But that was Notre Dame's opening public salvo to get the bar higher. The networks, NBC in this case, they're going to come in with a lower number. Then can they meet at a number that's mutually agreeable? Which in this case could be 50 or 60. It's not going to be 75. Kliavkov and his group, they want to maximize their dollars. So now they're talking about the possibility, maybe Turner bids for them, possibility of Prime Video. The problem with Prime Video is going to be this. How many of your games at this stage, short term, do you want on streaming as opposed to being over the air? And that's something that you do have to openly discuss. That it's fine to have that package of games, but do you want to overload that package of games versus the possibility of a wider audience seeing you? Streaming is important moving forward, but the ratings are telling us over and over again that the traditional way of consuming media is still exponentially greater than streaming. And that's why they need the contract. So don't sit there. And if you're George Kliavkov, oh, we laugh about that. Laugh about what? I mean, why would Andrew Marchand and John Orrand, what are they, you know, exactly what's their angle? There's no angle. No angle at all. They're just trying to report what they know based on the people they talk to. Okay. But that's going to be the issue moving forward for them. Right? Right now, they're in line to get less. You can't lose the Los Angeles market and lose two brands, a heavyweight brand and a really good secondary brand, and expect that you're going to get more money at the table. That's not realistic. All right. We'll take a break. Got a good show on tap today. At least we think it's a good show. And by the way, Tony Knopp is going to join us Friday next week. Friday next week, Tony is going to join us on the show. Just so you know.
Beautiful.
He speaks highly of you. Today we've got Aeneas Hawkins, and we will have Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of Northwestern. Our high school roundtable is tomorrow. And, man, we are deep into the season. We're making the turn to October, but we're past the two-thirds mark, right?
We are.
Hey, by the way, if Aaron Judge doesn't homer tonight, Friday night's games will be on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, wonderful.
I'm telling you, you need to buy more stuff at the holidays. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Who do the Eagles have this week?
Doug P. in Jacksonville. Doug P. coming back to the link.
So, like Greensboro? Okay, good.
But here's the problem, though, once again, that the NFL, I don't understand these things. Because the Steelers and Eagles are playing on 1 o'clock on CBS this week. I confirmed it today with the regional maps. The Steelers game will only be shown here in this area for 1 o'clock, leaving us Eagle fans out to dry.
Yeah, but they're more popular.
It doesn't matter. This is not geographically, you're not Philadelphia market, but because it's on WYOU in Scranton, that's Philadelphia market. Enough with the Steelers. Put the Eagles on.
Your voice is getting higher.
You know me, I can't ignore stupid, but it's stupid.
You can watch it on Red Zone.
Oh, I don't have Red Zone. I'm going to listen to Merrill, which I love to do, but I would like to watch the game too.
You don't seem excited.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Service department to back it all up, and when you have a 107-year-old dealership, you stay in business for 107 years because you earned people's trust. They're looking for more technicians. They go with the great ones they already have. So if you're looking for an entry-level job, looking for a career change, or you're experienced and want to go with a real winning organization, stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. Once again tonight, Matt and his kids will be wasting their time watching Aaron Judge in game 155.
Well, I'll be keeping track once I get back from doing high school soccer tonight.
That may be more exciting. There may be more action. Four walks last night. Four. Wow.
Not shocked.
Well, I mean, it's like three of the four, he had two strikes on him. So it's not as if, you know what I mean? It wasn't like they got up there and they fired, they're all 3-1 counts. I mean, he actually was behind in some counts. He was patient. You know, he's been patient during all this. I mean, start wailing away. Let's go. Come on.
Well, that's what I give him credit for. He's not changing his approach at the plate.
Yeah, let's go. Just hit the thing. Let's go. Move. Come on.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
My goodness. Yeah. Let's get it over with. Let's move. I mean, the problem is they're not playing the Pirates anymore. I mean, come on.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I just thought I'd point it out. That is his last home run, right?
Correct.
It was so long ago, I gotta figure it out. I mean, IKF has hit more home runs in the last week than he has.
Oh, my almighty!
Just kidding, for goodness sakes. He's had a phenomenal year. But the shine is kind of coming off a little bit here at the end, a little bit, you know, to be honest with you. And people are getting mad about split screens. It's not the way media is consumed today. It's just not. And it's like, I want to watch my game. I don't, you know, if I wanted to watch his game, I'd flip over and watch his game. So people have been upset about split screens. All right, let's talk football. And joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio is former Nittany Lion, Andreas Hawkins. Hawk, always great to have you here, man.
Great to be here. Any day I'm doing radio with you, man, is a great day.
Same here.
It's a great day.
Great to have you here. Let's talk about the defensive front. I feel, just on observation, that PJ got back into the mix, but I feel like the last two games we've started to see the PJ of early last year. Is that what we're seeing?
I think it's accurate. I remember watching that Auburn game and watching him fire off, and mm-hmm. I saw him talking crazy to some of the Auburn offensive linemen. I said, you know what? He's feeling comfortable again.
Yeah.
He's looking healthy. So it's you can't over exaggerate the importance of having a guy like PJ back, especially with the Big Ten Gauntlet coming up, and those teams that like to run the football.
I also think it makes a big difference for Elsdon, because
yes.
if PJ's firing like that, he's taking up space. And usually two guys, fair?
Yeah, absolutely fair. I think no matter what type of middle linebacker you have on the field, they're going to look significantly better or worse, depending on how that nose is playing in front of them. So I'm sure Elsdon is thankful to have a healthy P.J. Mustipher on the field with him now.
He may not be getting sacks, but what are you seeing in the disruption of Chop Robinson right now?
Yeah, he's very it's hard. I don't want to put him in a tough situation, but it reminds me of AK a lot. When AK came from Temple, may not be finishing on a lot of sacks, but I just saw a graphic today that the Big Ten put out, and he is one of the leading pass rush win rates in the entire conference. So, you know, having him around, it's going to help guys like PJ and Akeem and whoever may be inside get pressure on the inside as well. You can't teach what Chop Robinson has. The way he gets off the ball, the way he kind of times his hands is very natural to him, and I think it's going to continue to pay dividends for that defense this year.
Same question about Adisa Isaac that I had about PJ. Gets to Auburn, gets three TFLs, tackles for losses, by the way. Are you now starting to see more explosion out of him? Because that is an injury that takes a while to get back from.
It is, and I think, I had the chance to go check out some practices preseason, and get to see Adisa Isaac back in the mix. And I will say he's, you know, physically, those guys, you mentioned PJ too, you know, they're healthy. They're fine.
Yeah.
A lot of it is mental, especially with a serious injury like he had. And you're starting to see that confidence kind of come back. And I like to think of it, you know, as I was injured a lot too as a high school kid. And when I would come back from that, those first two games were tough just because it's a mental game. You're kind of timid. I think week three, you kind of saw both of them make the decision like, okay, I'm fine. Let's turn it up now and let's play at the caliber that we know we're playing at. And that's what you're seeing from Adisa.
Mentally, after you get hit a few times after an injury, is that when the confidence begins to return because you are getting hit and nothing happened?
Yeah, I think, a hit can absolutely do it. Football is a very aggressive sport. So once you are on the field, maybe you get hit, maybe somebody shoves you a little bit after a play, and you kind of just flip a switch in your head where it goes from, okay, I'm trying to be careful, make sure I stay healthy, to, okay, we have a job to do. And we're playing a physical game, and those guys are competitors, especially. So when you see a decent PJ take those hits, maybe somebody shoving them extra after the play, like I mentioned, to them, that's just going to flip that switch, and they're not thinking about their bodies anymore. Now they're just playing fast and going and playing football.
The kid that excites a lot of people, and justifiably so, is Danai Dennis-Sutton.
Yeah.
It takes a while to, again, get used to the speed of this game. Plus, he came in later. He didn't have spring practice here.
Yep.
What are you starting to see in him, Aeneas?
Yeah, his get-off is outstanding. His length is really helping him. If you talk to the kid, if you walk by him, you see that he's just kind of put together a little bit differently than most people. And it reminds me a lot of, I came in with Odafe Owe, and he didn't early enroll. Right. And it took him 2, 3, 4 weeks before he looked like an elite pass rusher. But then once he did, he never went back and he only made strides. I still see a lot of room to grow for Sutton, but you know, he's having impact immediately already, and he's only going to continue to grow into that role more as the season goes on.
What do you think of this secondary so far?
Oh, man, they're special, man. And I'll tell you what, I'm always going to be more reserved than a lot of people about anointing position groups or certain players.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a group that's led by Joey Porter, a group that's led by Jair Brown, then have the depth that they have, I mean, they're NFL players all throughout that secondary, I think even more so than people are probably realizing. And, man, I don't think, at least since I've been here, they have not had a secondary that has played at this level yet.
They played early on in three games, a lot of 7 defensive back packages. Against Central Michigan, they went to 3 downs, okay, part of their Prowler package. But instead of 7, they went with 6, and they put Abdul Carter in there with Curtis Jacobs. What does that do for a defense to have that combination of linebackers on the field with the 6 DBs?
Yeah, well, the benefit of having Abdul Carter and Curtis Jacobs, obviously, you have another physical presence, a linebacker presence who plays the run like a linebacker. But when you talk about those two guys, they run like DBs. Mm-hmm. Coach Franklin tracks the miles per hour in every practice, and consistently they are at the top of that board with any position group. So, you know, you get guys that can run like corners but are hitting and playing physical like LBs, it's only going to elevate everybody's play.
So on offense, what have you thought of the offense to this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's been great to see the tight end step up. The offensive line has made big strides since last year, and I want to give them their flowers. But a big part of that, too, is getting guys like Brenton Strange in the mix in the run game.
Yeah.
Because now it's a numbers game in that box. If you have a tight end that can block, like an offensive lineman who can win those matchups with safeties and backers, it's going to open big, big-time holes. And we've seen that with Nick Singleton. We've seen Catron Allen step up and Kevon Lee. And that's been the most exciting part to me. I will say, and I've told this to them on the show as well, I would love to see those wide receivers take a game over because I know they can.
Yeah.
They're a deep group, and they're all very unselfish, and eventually we're going to see them pop too.
Let me give you an element of unselfish. I think a guy downfield that has blocked well has been Keandre Lambert-Smith.
Absolutely.
I mean, have you noticed the same
thing? The Auburn run, I think it was Singleton maybe. You saw Keandre take off down the field and manhandle that corner. And I think the biggest trend I've seen with this team that differentiates them from teams of the past is the way they play for each other. When you have guys who are unselfish and willing to play hard, even when they don't have the ball in their hands, that's the mark of a great player and hopefully what will be a great team too.
When you look at Singleton and Allen, what does their jump, their get out of the gate first step and a half mean to an offensive line and an offense?
Yeah, so, I mean, with Nick specifically, the gear that he can go into when he hits that second level, when he sees where he wants to go, is not something that can be taught or coached. It's a little bit different, and it's great because as an offense, you know, and I'll speak even from a defensive perspective, you know, when you're preparing all week, you know, it's a little bit different when you know there's a guy who can take that top off regardless right. of whether or not everybody does their jobs. And it adds an element of fear and a different level of preparation, and it changes what a defense can call, so it opens up the playbook even more.
See, and that's what I think they're hoping to find a little bit more, take the top off with one or two of the wide receivers. They're capable of it.
I think they are. Yep.
But yeah, they're capable of it, but they want to see them take the top off, which yeah. would really open up everything. Sean Clifford.
Yep.
You've been around him, played in the same team with him. What makes him a really good quarterback in this offense?
Yeah, so I think, you know, he's 53 years old now. He's in year six. But here, I mean, let's be real, though. Sean is benefiting this year from having an offensive line that can protect him. They have a run game that defenses have seen now and have to prepare for, and he's always been a smart guy.
Right.
Always been highly intelligent, has always been a good leader. You saw him get hit against Auburn. He's always been a tough kid, and I'm just happy to see him have the opportunity to shine now. I think we talked about on the show again on Saturday, he's got, what, 8 passing touchdowns, 1 pick. He's rushed for 4 more. The offense has just opened up now, and it's given him more control. Another aspect that I don't want to go unsaid, let go unsaid, is the fact that he's under an offensive coordinator in year 2 for the first time in his career.
Right.
He's comfortable with the playbook. He's able to make checks at the line of scrimmage that put the offense in the best situation possible, and that's why we're seeing the success that he's having now.
Right. When somebody takes a shot, and he does take some shots during the game, and you're on the sideline, how much respect is there, and what does it do for a sideline when your quarterback gets up from something like that?
Yeah, I mean, he's the leader of that team, right? So you see your leader get popped. He pops right back up and makes a great play. I think he threw a dime to Mitch Tinsley on that same drive.
Yes, he did.
It fires
yep.
everybody up.
Yep.
Because, again, there's a brotherhood in that locker room. So, you know, you can talk about the offensive line who's going to absolutely get up when they see that, and they're going to get fired up. But it fires the whole team up. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, anytime – we never obviously hit the quarterback in practice, so it's foreign to watch it happen.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, people get fired up, they get going, so it's definitely fun to watch when they respond that way.
We've talked about the two young running backs.
Yep.
You know, it would not be right to not then delve into the future with Drew Aller.
Yeah.
You watched him in the preseason after watching him in the spring, but the preseason was a different kind of guy. What do you look – now, when you look at Drew Aller, what are you seeing in him?
Yeah, just from a physical perspective, man, crazy arm talent. He can put the ball wherever it needs to be. You know, I watched his back foot throw against Ohio with pressure in his face, put it on a rope right to the tight end. And everybody can't do those things. On balance, off balance, he can sling that thing around. That's God's gifts. But I think the thing that's impressive to me about him is the composure that he's shown as a true freshman quarterback. Because really, regardless of the talent level you have, typically for freshmen, especially QBs, there's some type of limit mentally to what they can do when they're in the heat of battle. And I have not seen him flinch. And again, Coach Franklin keeps talking about depth. To have a guy like that in the case that Sean Clifford is not available to go play, mm-hmm. you know, it's a huge opportunity for the rest of the team, because now everybody knows they can still go win games regardless of the circumstances.
Which now brings us back to the point of actually playing the game, because he's played a lot of people, Drew among them. Right? Give everyone a sense the value of actually playing in a game. Even though practice is important,
yep.
but playing in the game.
Yeah, you know, those reps are very important for a couple reasons. Number one, just again, to come back to the starters, you want to keep them as fresh as possible for as long as possible. Because when the first quarter ends, when the second quarter ends, when that fourth quarter comes and it's time to go win the game, you want guys that are fresh and can go do their job at a high level. It is not realistic to do that for 80 plays at this level. I don't care how good a shape. We have a great strength and conditioning program.
Right.
You don't get in better shape than what Coach Losey has those guys in, but still it's unrealistic. So to get game experience early in the season, it shows the coaching staff, hey, okay, these guys can go in and play when they need to, but it also keeps everybody locked in. And the mental aspect of it, again, not to keep harping on that, but to keep guys locked in for however long the season is, 12, 13 weeks of regular season play, is hard to do, but it's important to do if you want to go where Coach Franklin and his team want to go.
Northwestern is going to be this week. It's a conference game. So both teams, by the way, are 1-0 in the conference.
Yep.
Northwestern lost their 3 out of conference. Is, you know, a game is a game, but did you always sense there was a different intensity on the field because it was a conference game, or is that a myth?
No, it's not a myth. Actually, I just heard Peyton Manning talking about it in the NFL, where there's a different speed when you're playing division games, right?
Yes. Yep.
It's the same thing in college. When you're playing a Big Ten opponent, you want to go out there and set a tone because you know the rest of the Big Ten's watching, and of course because you want to win the game. And Northwestern, I hate to break it to everybody, they're not a team that's going to come into Beaver Stadium and just lay down because it's Penn State and stop playing football. They're going to come in here with an attitude, and they're going to want to win that ball game. And realistically, at the Big Ten level, in most games, you can't come in and not give your best effort because teams are good enough to win.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'll do this anytime you hit my phone. Anytime. I always get excited when I see Steve Jones on my phone, ladies and gentlemen.
The Hawk, Aeneas Hawkins, who, by the way, has an incredible future in this business. So thanks so much for being
here. Appreciate you, brother.
Aeneas Hawkins joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. We were going to talk about, see, again, it's a non-divisional game between the Eagles and the Jags. It's not going to be that intensity. I mean, you're all excited about Doug. I mean, they canned him. That's fine. You know, wasn't good enough for the Eagles. How many Super Bowls other coaches have won? I'm just asking.
That would be none.
Friend.
That would be none.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Welcome back. All right, back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Joining us in the next half hour. Final half hour, Dennis Dodd put out another article today on Pac-12 in danger of eventual collapse as Big Ten considers further expansion. Big 12 interest looms. But again, there is a bottom line. It's going to have to come with another TV package, gang. It's not going to come with this TV package. In other words, you're going to have to get like an Amazon Prime or somebody like that, because anybody they're considering does not have the branding chops to even equal the number that schools are getting now. They will dilute the number for everybody unless they get another TV package to go with it. It's really as simple as that. It's just common sense economics. Pretty simple. But we'll talk about in the final half hour. And Tony Knapp's going to join us a week from Friday on the show to discuss all of this and also what it is like in California right now and how the Board of Regents works there. Again, I still do not believe they have the ability to stop this because it's an athletic department decision. They are allowed to do it as an athletic department. Okay.
Speaking of that, have you seen some of the reasons that they don't like the UCLA moving to the Big Ten?
Yes.
These are just utterly ridiculous and proves the point that, no, they will have no shot at keeping UCLA where they are.
Well, for example, every time I see one of those stories, they're talking about the revenue from the TV package and so forth. You know what they leave out every time? And you have to know the conference to understand it. Revenue sharing. Revenue sharing. You know, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nebraska, they all put $1 million a game on a Big Ten game. They put $1 million a game into the pot. And it's a sliding scale from like $1 million down to 600,000. Believe it or not, for a program like UCLA, that revenue sharing part is close enough to the number they need to travel. You know that?
Oh, yeah, UCLA, we have known that for a while now.
Nobody's talked about revenue sharing. Revenue sharing happens in both men's basketball and football. That's never discussed in these articles. There are multiple ways of getting to numbers. That's one of them, because UCLA would be one of those programs that would probably be kicking in more of the 600,000 level as opposed to a million. They're going to end up on the plus side of revenue sharing. And that will help offset some of the travel costs.